SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Atem im SBS Beivrit.
My next guest is Dror Doron. Dror is an Israeli living in Sydney, and he arrived here in 2022. He is a senior political analyst specializing in the Middle East, who has worked for almost 20 years for the Israeli government as a research and analysis expert. Some of the topics we will discuss today include the war in Israel, Qatar, and what he thinks the government in Australia should be doing to help to end the conflict. Shalom, Dror.
Hello, Mitch. Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for joining us today on SBS Shalom Australia. Dror, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Dror Doron. I arrived to Australia a year and a half ago, after almost 2 decades of working in the Prime Minister's office in Israel as a political and geostrategic analyst, coming here with a background of Middle Eastern knowledge, and this is what we're going to try to share with you.
Great. You're also a freelancer writer for Plus61J Media website, and a few weeks ago you wrote an interesting article titled "Contradictory War Goals Will Prevent Israel from Achieving Victory in Gaza." Could you explain the so-called contradictory goals?
I think that we should maybe start with the term victory, which is, of course, very elusive. How do you decide what the victory is? You need to decide what are your goals. And I think this is where it's getting even more complicated when it comes together. Because Israel set 2 goals. It set 1 goal to destroy Hamas military apparatus and military capabilities, and at the same time, to free the hostages that Hamas kidnapped during the 7th of October attack. And the problem is that those 2 goals will be very hard to achieve at the same time, because Hamas uses the hostages as an insurance policy to prevent exactly the Israeli attempt to destroy Hamas altogether. So we should take into consideration that if, and in an event that Israel will press Hamas to the wall, and when Hamas leadership will be with their back to the wall, the fate of the hostages will be in great risk. So this is a very tragic dilemma for the Israeli policymakers of prioritizing those 2 goals. What are we wishing to achieve first, or where our priority lies?
It seems that Hamas has already been pushed to the wall. Do you think that Israel can really defeat Hamas?
No. I think it's part, again, Hamas, it's not a regular military. Hamas is not a state, it's not a military. It's a resistance organization, in their term, in the Arabic term, called Mukawama. The basic idea of resistance is that it can't be won, okay? And in order to, or the basic win of the resistance is the fact that it still exists after the war is over. And I think this is exactly what Hamas is trying to do, and especially in the last couple of weeks, I think we see Hamas terrorists not engaging in fight with Israel, just retreating back, waiting for the international community to stop Israel campaign. When that will happen, they will come out of the tunnels under Khan Yunus or Rafah, where they still have some control, and they will claim victory. We have survived. Our survival is our victory, and that's going to be the victory image of Hamas. It's very hard to deny such an image from a Mukawama organization, again, because the total elimination of each and one Hamas terrorist is practically an impossible military mission. I mean, yes, Israel, the IDF, is able to downgrade and hurt Hamas military capabilities, but the total elimination of the organization is practically impossible to achieve.
Hamas deliberately kidnapped all those hostages and is using them to pressure and blackmail Israel into accepting all those outrageous demands. So we seems to have an impossible dilemma, not just contradictory goals. Isn't that the case?
I think it's Israel is pretty much in this dilemma for the last few months, and I think you can see it also in the Israeli domestic political arena, and the demonstrations in the streets of Tel Aviv and so on. Yes, you need, by the end of the day, as a decision maker, as a policy maker, you have to prioritize your goals. You have to decide what is more important to you, the destruction, the total destruction of Hamas, or the almost total destruction, or the fate of the hostages still being held by Hamas, and again, used as an insurance policy. And that's a very complicated and tragic dilemma that the Israeli policymakers will have to eventually decide on.
As you probably know already, Australia is considered as a very ethical country. All the same, we barely hear about any diplomatic pressure from Australia to return the hostages to Israel or to condemn Hamas and the supporters of Hamas here in Australia. How do you explain this apparent indifference?
I think the Australian government, yes, it promotes an ethical foreign policy in general. But by the end of the day, the decision makers here in Australia and Canberra are politicians. And they do consider political considerations when they act. And I think it's not something that we can put aside, that the fact that there is in Australia a community of 100,000 Jewish Israelis and 8,000 Arab Muslims. And I think these political calculations are taking part in the decisions of what is the position the Australian government is currently taking, because taking a position that will have a domestic political price, you need to be a brave politician in order to do that. And usually politicians think in the next campaign, the next election campaign, and it influences their decisions when it comes to events which are complicated.
Do you think it would be effective if Australia and the rest of the West place pressure on Qatar to stop supporting Hamas? Do you think it's effective?
Yes, I think coalition, the concept of coalitions, of a united front of countries approaching Qatar could assist promoting the negotiations. We've just heard the other day that Hamas is not really into the negotiations, even though President Biden was very optimistic that a deal is going to be declared. So I think the pressure of the Western liberal countries on the mediators and through the mediators on Hamas has a role. It is true that by the end of the day, Australia is far away from the Middle East, but nevertheless, as part of the democratic liberal world, I think voicing these concerns, this pressure on Hamas has a value and has an ethical value, as we spoke to earlier.
And looking at the rest of the Arab world, it seems that not all the leaders condemn Israel in recent months. To the contrary, could you enlarge on that issue?
Yeah, I think what's happening in the regional level, which includes, of course, the rest of the Arab world, is quite interesting phenomenon. We see Israel conducting a very aggressive urban warfare in Gaza Strip. We've seen the photos coming out of the Gaza, implicating the Arab street. We've seen demonstration in Jordan, in Egypt, in other countries. But nevertheless, we do not see the Arab countries or the leadership of the Arab countries taking any actual acts against Israel. We do have declarations. On the declarative level, we do see discontent from the situation. But when you're talking about the geostrategical behavior or strategical approaches, you should point to the fact that Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Morocco, they are all standing and allowing Israel to continue its military campaign against Hamas. And we should remember, Hamas is a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is the most dangerous element domestically in Jordan, in Egypt, and there is not much love between those countries and Hamas. And I think the fact that they allow Israel freedom of action is very, very important.
Could the Jewish community over here in Australia do more to get the Australian leaders to act with more courage against Hamas?
I think the basic idea of this war was caused by Hamas. Hamas is holding 134 hostages till this day. Is the responsibility for the fact that the this war is still going on. These are messages that must be heard loud and clear. And the fact that the IDF is doing enormous efforts to prevent civilian casualties and should be echoed in all the means that the Jewish community has in order to contradict the false narrative that Israel is committing genocide, which is, of course, ridiculous. So I think there is a lot of media and what's called public diplomacy that can be done by the Jewish community, the Israeli community in Australia, and to show and to demonstrate to the world or to the Australians the complexity of the situation.
The Jewish community here in Australia feel very threatened by the violent anti-Semitic protests since October last year. What, in your opinion, could be done about the safety of the community?
Yes, it's a very troubling situation. I think it's a challenge that all liberal democracies are facing when pro-Palestinians challenge the rules of the rights and freedoms of a democracy. And they cross the line from demonstration, from freedom of speech, from protest, into intimidation, harassment. And I think the Jewish community here in Australia is suffering the same very difficult reality that is evident also in the U.S. and in Europe. I think the main thing that the community can do is to record, to collect the facts, and to press the politicians upward to readjust the way the Australian authorities approach this kind of a challenge to the freedoms and the rights that are given to communities. Manipulating the freedom of speech or exploiting the freedom of protest should have a limit. Showing that the limit was crossed and pushing for change in legislation and enforcement, and these are the tools that the minority community, which is part of Australia, should demand from the policymakers here in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to add any other comments?
I think right now the international community is focused on what's happening in Gaza and a bit forgetting the other front, the Hezbollah front, the Northern Israeli front, which is a very sensitive and the situation there is far from being stabilized. And I think in the upcoming weeks and months, we should expect an escalation on that front and something to keep in mind and to keep on watching.
Do you think that if the war in Gaza will finish, the northern part of Israel will go to a peaceful situation?
It's hard to say. I think in pretty much the ball in Israel's court by the end of the day, Hezbollah already declares that if Israel will cease fire in Gaza, Hezbollah will cease fire on the north. The problem is that Israel is not going to accept the current status quo. When Hezbollah fighters are a few kilometers away from villages and settlements, Israel demands the implementation of UN Resolution 1701, which demands Hezbollah to be much further away from the border over the Litani River. And I think Israel is going to demand the implementation of this international decision. And if the international community won't be able to secure the enforcement of this resolution, Israel will be forced to act in different ways other than diplomatic.
Dror Doron, an Israeli living in Sydney, a senior political analyst specializing in the Middle East, who has worked for almost 20 years for the Israeli government as a research and analysis expert. Thank you so much for your time, Dror.
Thank you very much for having me, and I hope you find it interesting.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.